we have chosen from the scriptures for this evening's study of God's word is Proverbs 1. God willing, I will be referring to several passages from the book of Proverbs. For it is a book that is consistently concerned about the family life. How parents ought to bring up the children and how children ought to behave before the parents. Now, since we have read responsively this passage, I would not ask you to read again, but we will make references to this chapter. So please open your Bibles and turn it to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Now, if you look at verse 4, especially at the end of that verse, verse 4, you will see that one of the major purposes of this book is to give to the young man knowledge and discretion. Children, young people, especially those who still live under the same roof with the parents, who are still being supported and guided by the parents, take note, this one book is for you. Of course, all the books are for you, but this one book has special instructions and guidance for you. And so we will refer to those relevant verses as we go on. So that chapter 1 presents to us the book's initial attempt to help the young ones to learn godly wisdom that they may grow up as wise men. In other words, how you behave at home would determine a great deal how you are going to be when you are outside the house. How you will deal with your parents is going to reflect, in one way or the other, how you are going to behave before superiors at work or teachers at school or friends outside the house. So the book of Proverbs gives a great deal of emphasis about the way we conduct ourselves in the home. Without godly children, there is not much joyful expectation in the home or in the church or in the society. If our children are rebellious, there is very little reason to be very happy about. Everything that we live for, everything that we earned, everything that we spend will come to zero. What if this church has no child that is dedicated for the glory of Christ? It's a very sad day for this church. What if my house has no children who loves the Lord? It's a very sad day as a father or mother. So, dear friends, if you are parents listening to me this evening, may I urge you to sit there with lots of prayer. Pray for your own family. Pray for the families in our churches. The reason why it is very important that we pray for happy homes with children who are obedient, with growing church, with children who are thriving in the knowledge of God's word and readiness to obey the parents, is because the scripture warns us that if there is no godly child, that there will be no peace and joy. Let me read out to you Proverbs 17, verse 25. Proverbs 17, 25. A foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her that bare him. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. And that's why it's told you to sit with prayer. Especially if you have brought your children, pray that the Lord would speak to their hearts today through the word of God. If you have not brought any kids, well, you can pray for kids of others. Because when we have happy homes, there are reasons to rejoice. Nonetheless, we cannot forget the nature of the time that we live in today. These are perilous times, being the last days prior to our Lord's coming. Apostle Paul, who poured out his heart concerning these last days in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 5, talks about the perilous nature of these days that we are living in. He called our time a perilous time, not because it will be full of natural calamities, wars and pestilences, but particularly because of the moral decadence in our society, the immoral behavior of the people. And one of the things that he lists out that will characterize our time is disobedient children. Let me read to you 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. But take note, when we are in verse 2, you will see a description about the children of our times. This know also that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous. Now watch. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Oh dear children, particularly Christian children, you who have heard the gospel from your mother's lap, know the times that you are living in. These are perilous days because it is full of disobedient children, rebellious children. So today's theme is very relevant, isn't it? Children, obedient or rebellious? You need to ask that question to yourself, children, young people, and find an answer before you leave this place. If you have been disobedient, it's time to rededicate yourself to be an obedient child of God in your home. Since the Bible urges us to be wise by being obedient to our parents, we will firstly look at the essentials for being obedient children. I'm going to lay before you from the scriptures some essentials, spiritual essentials that you and I need to be obedient children. So children, please take note of them. I'm going to derive most of them from Proverbs chapter 1. Firstly, the key verse of that text, verse 7. Please keep in your mind when you read verse 7, one of the purposes for which this book is written is to educate or instruct the young people in godly wisdom, right? And later on, he quickly says in verse 8 that you should hear the instruction of the father and forsake not the law of the mother. So slightly before that verse, verse 8, you have verse 7, which talks about one of the essentials that will lead you to be obedient children. And let's read verse 7 together. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Remember, at the very outset I read Proverbs 17:25, which says, a foolish son is a grief to the father, and bitterness to her that bear him, right? So it is not a son who failed his O-levels that brings great sorrow. It's not a daughter who cannot play piano that causes grief. But it is a foolish child that brings great grief to the parents. Now, in the book of Proverbs, a foolish person is one who does not fear the Lord. A wise person is one who fears the Lord. So the first essential to be a wise child, not a foolish child who brings grief in the heart of your parents, is to fear the Lord. That's the first essential. Fear the Lord. Children, do you fear the Lord? This is godly fear. Now, some people would like to explain the word fear as just a reverential fear. But I don't think that's a correct explanation of the word fear. The Lord is to be feared. He is an awesome God. He is a consuming fire. The wrath of God will shine against those who sin without repentance. We must fear Him because He is a judge who is coming soon. And He judges without any respect of persons. It doesn't matter whether you are a pastor's kid or an elder's kid or a deacon's kid or a long-standing member of this church. You might have been brought up in this church with all the wonderful Christian songs and choruses in your head, with all the memory verses in your heart. But look, all this can become just an outward show. Like Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. So the most important factor is not this outward expression of religiosity, but an inward reality of great fear of God. Do you fear God? Or do you go to church because you want to please your parents? Let me tell you, you must fear God more than your parents. Some people fear parents, but they don't fear God. I tell you, what's the result of fearing the parents and not fearing God in your heart? You will be a hypocrite. You will try to please your parents with outward expressions of piety. It does not help to change our fallen nature. Every child must fear God from his heart. Because we know He searcheth our hearts. He looketh deep into our hearts. He knows our innermost thoughts. There is nothing hidden from a mighty God who knows everything. So if our children fear the presence of God, even in the secret of the room, they will do that which is pleasing to God. Otherwise, when the parents is out of sight, they will do what they like, because parents are not around to watch over them. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Elsewhere, the scripture says in the book of Proverbs, fear of the Lord is to depart from evil, or is to hate evil. So a child who is deeply committed to God, a child who is deeply reverential, respectful of God, and give due honor to God as a mighty God who is able to bring out the secrets of our heart and judge us quickly, will fear to walk in evil ways. I grew up in a Christian home. I can tell you, with all sincerity of my heart, Even though my dad was a preacher, though I loved him and feared him, many times I dared to sin when he is not around. When my dad and my mom are out to attend prayer meeting, I'll be very happy they are not around, because I can do what I want. I can watch the show that I want to watch. I can read the kind of magazine I want to read. And today you have more exposure to sin. You have more easy access to sin than ever before, right, children? Internet, DVDs. It will bring tons and tons of filth into our houses. Our rooms, our homes, our computers, our tables, our books are all filled with filth in these days. Parents' presence and fear of parents alone cannot stop you from evil. It has to be the fear of the Lord. So children, learn to fear God. For He knows your secrets. Nothing is hidden from God's eyes. And He can all of a sudden appear as the judge. What will be your situation if the Lord appears today as the judge? Let that thought always keep our hearts and our lives honorable unto God. That's why I told you, as I expounded this essential fear of the Lord, that if you fear the Lord adequately and appropriately, you will naturally give due respect that belongs to your parents. You will obey your good parents who loves the Lord. But a child who doesn't fear the Lord will not find it necessary to obey the godly parents. You see, I believe that godly parents who are very careful of what they say and what they require of the children will want to give godly counsel. They will require the children to be obedient to them because they obey God. Now look, if the child doesn't fear the Lord, even if the parents fear the Lord, they can't connect. Children will disagree with the parents all the time. So children, the best way to obey your godly parents is to fear the Lord whom your parents fear, is to serve the Lord whom your parents serve, is to love the Lord whom your parents love. So if both parents and children love the Lord, there will be plenty of harmony at home. There will be reason to rejoice. So in Proverbs 24:21, a loving father tells his son, Proverbs 24:21, listen to this. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king. King is to be feared in a country, but he places the Lord before the king. And he says to his son, son, my son, what an endearing address from the mouth of a loving father. My son, fear the Lord. Now the second important spiritual essential for being obedient children at home is that a child must hear the instruction of his parents. Now, you can't miss this if you read the book of Proverbs. It's everywhere. For example, verse 8 of chapter 1. What does it say? My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. In fact, this whole verse is calling for the attention of the children. Children, if you have to be an obedient child, you have to pay attention. Now, when a father calls out to his children or his son, saying, my children, my son, what does it mean? Please give your ears to me. Listen to me. So this verse begins with the phrase, my son. That itself is a call to hear. Then he rephrases that with more emphatic tones and comes up with the statement, hear the instruction of thy father. Hear. Now the word hear is a very interesting Hebrew word, which is not just suggesting, please listen to the sounds of your father. No. The word here has the connotation of understanding what the father says and putting that into practice. You know, Jesus himself said, let those who have ears, let them hear, right? Does that mean many people who crowded around the Lord Jesus Christ had no ears? No, all of them had ears. But the problem is, they will never absorb the truth for themselves. They will hear it, but deflect it quickly. They will not let it enter and control their life. So every child who is a God-fearing child must take heed to hear your parents, that it may affect your life for your own betterment, for your own good, for your own blessing. Never listen to your parents as though they are uttering something that is useless. No parent, no God-fearing parent would ever say something that is destructive or even useless to the child. Every God-fearing father, every God-fearing mother speaks with much prayer, with the intention that all that he or she says will affect the child for his good, for his blessing. So children, even though it's difficult to listen to what they are saying because they contradict your desires, or they rebuke and correct you, you have to give very attentive ear. Listen to all that they say. With the prayer in your heart, Lord, what my mom says, what my dad says, will turn out to be a blessing to me. I will listen carefully. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. I like that statement at the end, thy father, not somebody else's father, all right? God give fathers and mothers for you, for your blessing. To listen to them is like listening to God's own provision to help you and guide you. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and the next statement, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Forsake not means don't neglect, don't put aside. By the way, there will be lots of voices other than the voices of your parents trying to distract your mind from the truth and the guidance of your parents. We'll talk about it later. But every child ought to remember this. Parents are God's provision for you to guide you in the paths of righteousness. And did you notice that at the end of verse 8, when it talks about the instructions of the mother, it is said that forsake not the law of thy mother. The word law in Hebrew is Torah. Now that's the word used for the law of God, both for the moral law, the Ten Commandments, and also for the scripture at large. By the way, mothers and fathers, your instructions ought to be biblical, thoroughly biblical. You can't be telling children everything that your heart wants or your flesh desires. But whatever you tell them, whatever instruction you give, has to be biblical. So the child can look at it and say, oh, the instruction of my dad, the counsel of my mom, is like the truth of God's word. Now, when you have such wonderful parents who brings out the truth of God's word in little instructions to you, children, do not forsake it, but rather embrace it like the law itself. So a child must hear the instruction of parents. Let me just let you read a few more verses. If you are quick with your Bible, please turn to Proverbs chapter 3 verse 1. As quickly as possible. And I would love the children to read loud and clear. Of course, teens and youths as well. Let's all read. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 1, reading together. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. You know, when parents speak to you, it's not for you to hear one moment and forget it the next. You have to meditate on the instructions of parents. Most children will say, okay, mommy, okay, daddy. But within seconds, they forget it and do the opposite of what they heard. Isn't it right? Then the parents will say, I told you, how many times I told you, look at you what the way you are. Are you deaf? What's wrong with your ear? They will ask. These are words of frustrations. But the reason why parents come to that stage of frustration is because children seldom bother to keep the instructions in the heart. When I grew up as a child, you know, I often forget my parents' instruction. Oops. Not just about good things, you know. Like my mom would say, son, can you go to the provision shop and buy some things for me? Okay, mom, I will go. But in my mind, I may be thinking of the extra money or the balance that I would have and the ice cream I can buy. I'm less interested in the provision that my mom wants, but I'm more interested in the things that I can get for myself. So I would say, mom, quick, what do you want? No problem, I will go. Where's the money? All right, son, this is the money. Okay, I want 2 kilos of rice and 500 grams of curry powder and 1 bottle of oil. Okay, mom, no problem. And probably some other stuff. And I run all the way down. I go there and wonder, what did my mom say? Okay, maybe these are things that she wants. Okay, I will buy. But get home, I get good scolding. Very good scolding. All I wanted was an ice cream. Some children are that way. I had to really work very hard to change that mindset. But I thank God I did work hard to change by His grace. You know, some of us would say, yes, mom, yes, dad, okay, mom, but we don't mean it. Even though we say, yes, okay, we are thinking something else in our mind. It doesn't work that way. Children, hear your parents and don't forsake what they are saying. And the scripture says in chapter 3, verse 1 of Proverbs, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Turn to chapter 4, verse 1. Let's read together. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to know understanding. Try and learn. You know, I don't mind children asking questions when we give them instructions. Though it can be a bit annoying sometimes. Sometimes I feel like saying, don't ask so many questions, just go and obey it. You know, but it's okay if they want to really understand the reason why. Now, children, sometimes parents cannot explain all the details of the reasons behind. You're not able to comprehend the problems. Your parents, having much experience in life, can see what you cannot see. Now, your dad may tell you, son, don't go and play with that group of friends. Daddy, you never allow me to play with my friends. What's wrong? You know, they study with me in the class. It's the same group of children. Don't worry, let me play 2 hours with them. Son, I tell you, don't. Why? Why cannot? Daddy, why cannot? Please. Please, Daddy, don't be like that. You see, if the parents of all those boys can let them go and play, why I cannot? I told you, no. You are so cruel. Oh, you won't dare to say that in public. You will sit at one corner and you mumble and grumble, right? Now, the father probably has some notion of what's wrong with that group of children. He may not want to say everything that is wrong with those children. Sometimes it's better to understand why would a father say no to certain requests, or why a father would restrict us with his instructions. If you are an understanding child, you will tell yourself, my dad loves me. He wants the best. bad things can come sugar-coated. It can be still poisonous. I can't see everything. My dad knows the best. Well, he's not saying I can't play at all, but maybe he's saying no, because in that place of game, with that group of people, I may be badly affected. So I just accept it. You have to be an understanding child if you are growing up to be an obedient child. A child who doesn't think, why would my parents give this instruction, would always want to disobey the parents. So hear the instruction of your parents with good understanding, that they mean the best for you. Again, Proverbs 4:10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Well, one commandment that is with promise is the commandment that honor thy father and mother, and it will prolong your days. Now, that does not mean every obedient child will live very long, but the idea and the context is that you will not run into unnecessary troubles. You don't end up in gang fight and sins that destroy your life. An obedient child very likely will live long and live a happy life and a joyful life. So that's the promise of God. Now, such verses are all over Book of Proverbs, but the time would not permit me to read all of them. So remember the first two spiritual essentials for being an obedient child. Number one, fear the Lord. Number two, hear the instruction of your parents with great attention and understanding. The third important spiritual essential for being an obedient child is that a child must be committed to make the parents glad. There must be a commitment to keep our parents happy. It's our duty. God has never commanded in His Bible, in His Word, children, go and make your parents sorrowful. You will never see that. But one thing is clear throughout the Scripture. Children, if you are wise, you will make your parents glad. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. Proverbs 10:1. The Proverbs of Solomon. Let's read the rest. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son will bring about heaviness in his mother's heart. Proverbs 15:20. Proverbs 15:20. Why don't we read together? A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. You see, it's very interesting. It's very much like the previous verse that we read, Proverbs 10:1. Okay, I'm going to read Proverbs 10:1, but you look at Proverbs 15:20. And see the resemblance. Okay, are you looking at Proverbs 15:20? But I'm going to read Proverbs 10:1. A wise son maketh a glad father. It's the same, isn't it? It's the same. Now, I'm going to read the last part. But a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Now, what's the main difference in the second part? Chapter 10, verse 1 says, a foolish son is heaviness to his mother. But 15:20 says, a foolish man despiseth his mother. So, who brings about heaviness in the mother's heart? The one who despises the mother's instructions. So, if you are not committed to bring joy into the parent's heart, you very likely want to be a disobedient kid. But every child that is committed to bring about joy and gladness in the parent's heart will do everything possible not to despise their instructions, but to be obedient. One more passage, Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, verse 24. Let's read together. Verse 24 and 25. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Wow. That's the description of a wise child. Brings great joy to the parents. Now children, I know when you don't do very well in your exams, your parents don't look very happy, right? And you may be scratching your head and say, I've been a good son, I obey you all the time, just because I didn't get band one. How come you are so unhappy? Well, in that case, I acknowledge not all parents are very, very kind. When it comes to mark, some parents, even though the children score 89, would scold the child, why didn't you score one more mark? And when next time when he earns that one mark and brings home 90 upon 100, the mother would say, "Ay, you're so stupid, just a little bit more effort, you could have got 95. That's how we are. It's not necessarily because the parents are evil. They are trying to encourage you to do better. Okay? Now, even though they show a little bit of displeasure for your marks, it does not mean you cannot make them happy. Your good behavior, your readiness to obey, will make you wise to respond to parents who feel a bit of trouble because you didn't perform well in your exam. Look, if I am a child who is committed to my parents, and I did my best to do well in the exam, but I didn't do as much as my parents expected, so they feel big trouble when I bring back marks. Now, I will be wondering, Lord, how am I going to make my parents happy? It's not by changing the marks. You know, some kids are very clever. If we get 90, they make the 0 into an 8 to make the parents very happy. That's not the way to do that. But if you're a wise child, you get home and say, Ma, I know you wanted me to do better, but I didn't do that well. I'm sorry. I will try even harder next time. What would your mom say? Don't try again, okay? No. So good, my child. Very good. That's all I want. Try hard. If you don't have such a commitment to make your parents glad by being a diligent child, you know, when the parents rebuke you or parents correct you or urge you to do better, you will say that, you're always like that. I don't want dinner, okay? And you create a very bad atmosphere at home. It should never be the case. So children, the third spiritual essential that you must keep in your heart is to make your parents glad. So God will give you wisdom to say the right thing, to do the right thing, which will make your parents happy. The fourth spiritual essential, in order to be a wise, obedient child, is diligence. Diligence in utilizing every opportunity that arises in order to provide for yourself and for the family. If you're going to be an obedient child, you cannot be a lazy child. A lazy child will never be obedient to parents because he always wants to sleep, right? He wants to sleep another 10 minutes. So tell mommy, Mommy, I know the alarm rang. Never mind. I will wake up after 10 minutes. Okay, child. My mother comes back after 10 minutes. The whole blanket is all over your body. Now you cannot be seen. You are all under that blanket. And after that, Mom said, "Child, 10 minutes up, you got to go." She said, "Okay, Mom, okay, you go, I'm waking." "Okay, then you sit up." And the mother goes out of the room, you go back again. Right? There are such children who will never seem to get out of the bed to do things. My mom used to say, if we are a little bit late in waking up, "Son, the sun is up." Sometimes the sun is not really up. Because in my house, we all have to wake up at 5:30 a.m. Because 5:45 is the time we come together to sit and pray. Last week I was in India. I just came back yesterday from India, spending 1 week with my parents and also preaching in a youth conference there. And you know, even today, my parents wake up at 5:30. No matter how tired they are, they wake up at 5:30. And I had to wake up because I knew the time. And it was not too bad for me. You know why? Because I went from Singapore. When in India it's 5:30, it's almost 8 o'clock in Singapore. So I'm quite used to waking up at 6 o'clock in Singapore. So 5:30 in India was not a problem for me. But the point is they still wake up at 5:30. And in those days when my mother taught me to wake up that early, she would say, "Yeah, the sun is coming out. You can see the rays. Look through the window and listen to the birds. They're all praying to the Lord. They are singing to the Lord. If God's creatures can sing and praise God, why are you sleeping? Wake up." And I had to jump out of my bed. And I still feel very guilty for sleeping too long. If I ever do that, I normally don't do it. Because it is something that my parents cultivated in me. And I thank God I listened to them. Please read one verse, Proverbs 10:5. Diligence is very important if you are growing, if you are going to grow up as an obedient child who brings joy to the parents. Proverbs 10:5. Let's read together. "He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame." There are some children who never go to the field or to the farm to help the parents to gather the harvest. They just sleep in the house. What a shame. Children, when your parents tell you to study hard, you better study hard. It's not only for your good. When you grow up, if you have good jobs, you can look after your parents also. You know how sad in these days when we hear of parents and children going to family court to see who will pay for the parents. They fight over it. And some children say, "I have nothing to pay. I have nothing to support my parents. Or let my brother do it. Or let my sister do it." And they fight over it. Shameful things happen to them. Partly because many have forsaken the need to rise up as diligent children, responsible children. I pray that none of you will be hesitant to look after your parents. Work hard. Study hard. That God may give you good jobs and good skills so you can look after not only your own, but even your parents. Chapter 23 of Proverbs, verse 22. Proverbs 23:22. Shall we read? "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee. Despise not thy mother when she is old." From birth to old age, all are covered in this little verse. Hearken unto the father that begat thee. Your father, thy father. Listen to him. Obey him. If you do that, even when they are old, you would not despise. Despise not thy mother when she is old. The word despise comes from a Hebrew word, which is a strong word for negligence. It refers to a man who is full of ignorance and self-esteem, but condemnation for others. The Lord doesn't like us to ill-treat our parents. If you are a disobedient child today, very likely you will forsake your parents when they are old. If you don't learn to respect them now, very likely you will despise your parents when they are quite weak and pretty useless. You know, when our parents are very old, they can't do very much for us. They can't even go down to buy a packet of rice for us. They can be bedridden. And their presence in the house, their physical condition, will require a lot of attention from us. If you have not learned to love them in your younger days, if you have not learned to respect them and obey them when they are weak, you would not feel compassionate toward them. That's the emphasis of this verse. So friends, take note. Children, take note. We don't want to be rebellious children who will abandon our parents. It would be a great sin. So from young, hearken unto your father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother, even when she is old. So I've given you the spiritual essentials to be an obedient child. Give me another 5 minutes. Let me just tell you, the Bible also warns against the threats that come our way to stop us from being obedient children. Threats to being obedient children. Now coming back to chapter 1, very quickly. Verse 10. Chapter 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us live privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, and we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Here we are clearly told of the threats that come the way of our children. Children, listen to this very carefully. This is the enticement of sinners. We are surrounded with many ungodly children. All kinds of children, from all kinds of background. You who are Christians know very well that their attitudes, their mannerisms, their words, their activities are not godly. But be mindful of this one thing. Though you are able to discern their attitude and behavior to be wrong, yet there is an enticing. There is a kind of attraction toward their activities. So the Bible says in verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee. There's something that is very alluring about sin and sinners. Because we are all born with a sinful nature. Since we are all totally depraved, our flesh will respond to such enticement. I know of a kid who has been to my church for a long time. His parents showered him with material blessings. He would go out and there will be friends in school who are ready to use the money he has. And he got so enticed by them, he would come home, even though he was only in primary school, and steal his parents' things. And the mother told me she has collected very precious things, valuable things over the years, and kept it in a cupboard in the room. And she hid that key for a very long time. But somehow this boy found out the key to the mom's cupboard and took all of it and sold it for cheap price. Very low price. And the boy was not even able to get 1/50th of the price, the actual price. And then he used that money to buy cards, you know, those cards with some creepy looking people with punky airs and with the postures of fighting. And he spent all that money to buy cards and to play some games. Oh, the enticement of sinners. Many of the children in Christian homes are taken away. Children, listen. Not because parents didn't tell them what is right and wrong. Not because they didn't bring you to Sunday school. But you did not protect yourself against the enticement. So when you leave this room today, there will be enticement through internet, through SMS, through the books you read, in the classroom, in the playgrounds. Mind you, this is God's warning. Don't yield. These are the counsel from the Lord to ward off such fatal appeal from the gangs of restless youth. Number one, it says again, verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't even say, okay, not today, maybe tomorrow, let me think about it. You don't even consent, don't even think about it. Just tell them, I'm a Christian boy, I'm a Christian girl, I will not go for this kind of things. If they invite you to go and watch a filthy movie, you know it's not good. Even though they all put pressure on you, you must say, no, I'm a Christian, this is not for me. But if you tell them, you know, today I got to go home because I told my mom I would be early. So today I got no time. Maybe next time. What happens? They will come next time. So what are you going to tell them? Another lie? How long you can say I have an appointment with your mom? It's quite difficult. You will soon yield. So the scripture says, do not consent. Now also look at verse 15. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Don't walk with them. You know, after the school, when you go home, please make sure you walk with good people. If they are all going to talk filthy things, things that are ungodly, don't walk with them. It's okay to walk alone home. Sing songs in your heart. Recite the Bible verses and get home. But if you ever walk with them, let them not influence you. Instead, you influence them. You tell them about Jesus Christ. You tell them Bible stories that you learn. You bring about good things into their heart. But don't walk with them and listen to them. There's only one thing that the Lord allows you to keep in your heart. It's the law of your parents. The godly instructions of your parents. You cannot allow any other voices or sounds to enter your heart and take it away from the Lord and your parents. Okay? So the way to fight against this terrible threat of the appeal of the restless youth of this world is not to agree with them, not to consent, and not to walk with them. Stay away, and the Lord will bless you and give you the strength to be obedient children. I hope these things that I shared from the scripture is helpful for you. Keep it in your heart. Apply it in your life. Children, you will be the joy of your parents. You will be the joy of the church that you belong to. You will be a great blessing to the society you live in. May God bless you, and may God answer the prayers of all the parents who plead on behalf of the children. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the evening hours of this Lord's Day, that we can be together in thy presence to study your word. Lord, empower us with thy spirit to be obedient children. We give thee thanks for thy glory in Jesus' name. Amen.